Dad comes home from deployment early and shows up at the Denny's while his wife and kids are there.
Oh, that's
That'll
good.
Bring a tear to you.
His dad comes home early and wife's pregnant. Oh, my God. Classic military story.
That's what the outtakes. I was trying to make that unimpeachable, and you've just sullied the entire.
Hey, man. Impeachment is on the way.
Send the link.
Welcome to Send the Link, where we analyze the latest feeds and reads. I'm Brandon Harrison with my co-captain and co-pilot and friend that I'm lucky is still here with us today and not doing a bid.
Not indicted. Not guilty.
We don't have to make up the free DJ shirts yet. Deej Dollars, DJ, what's up, man?
I don't have to be pardoned yet.
No, not quite. I mean, if I was president, I would be like, listen.
He's a good man.
He's done a lot for our country. He's earned it. He won't do it again.
Let him out. Yeah, man, it's been a crazy day in terms of national news. Capping off, although it's a Tuesday.
Yes, it is.
A relatively crazy 7 days.
Indeed.
All across the board.
It's been a peculiar time. As one of the new nuggets of this podcast that we like to go back to. What is it, DJ? The persistence of time.
Oh, yeah, please, the gym I dropped.
Please weigh on the hearts of our listeners.
People, especially in today's instant microwave culture, it seems pretty clear that particularly the younger cohort don't appreciate the... I forgot, like, the nice verbiage I used, but they don't. We collectively don't appreciate the persistence of time and how things unfold over the long course of time, and you don't get the outcomes that you want or are fearing as immediately as one would think.
You know, like, this was a big component. Use my degree here in avant-garde film history.
Yes.
In the 60s and early, late 50s, these things came together and they would just show films of just like, door! And it'd just be like, you have to understand, like, film is edited, so you just have to experience the image of this door for 7 hours. Time is persistent. Andy Warhol joins. He used to do that. He did Empire State Building. Empire. He's recorded all night.
Yeah, but you would see, what would you see in those films? Like the change from day to night, planes flying overhead.
But in real time, so you understand that you are being gifted a art form when you watch other films. The decisions were made.
Right. So in that you have to appreciate the persistence of time and the excruciating second by second nature that we live through. Now that may
is that
be,
like a is that like an Agent Smith quote?
It might be shit, Mr. Smith. Yeah, it might be, but you know, as much as we refresh our various feeds or click next on our whatever's in our queue on Netflix or Hulu or whatever. You know, things are still going by on a second-to-second basis. We haven't been able to figure out anything that really speeds up time as of yet.
No,
and that seems tough to deal with. That seems tough to deal with in the national political scene for most people of a certain persuasion. Or, you know, that or you looking for the next album for your favorite artist. Or... the next film to come out for you for Avengers Infinity War Part 2.
Right.
After such a gaunt ending of the last one. But we have to appreciate that.
You do. And with that, with understanding of the permanence of time, shout out to Aretha Franklin.
Yes. You have to appreciate her time.
Right. A figure who had been persistent over a long period, all of our lives, and at a point where I thought she was older than she was.
Me too.
I thought she was probably like late 80s in my head.
Me too, but and a small point to that is, like, and maybe it's because of the figures that we see and figures like Aretha Franklin and even these politicians that have national exposure, because as of right now, the politicians, Democrat or Republican, that have the most exposure are mostly septuagenarians, as in people in their 70s, to be clear.
Those words,
yeah. So, Yeah, like that's a long period of time, but that's actually pretty common. What am I trying to say? That's not that old, like to be in your 70s, but that does cover. I think I'm more so trying to say that covers a long period of time.
Although, in the public eye.
Right.
If you are an adult and you began in your 20s, that's the 50-year period. It's half a century.
Yeah, definitely. I believe she sang at MLK's wake or funeral.
I don't want to say that because it might be true, but I don't know. I don't remember.
It's the internet.
But she did sing at Divas 98 on VH1.
Oh, yeah. I remember that. Not really, but...
This is not the main topic of this episode. We got a couple of, I guess, more heavy topics that are a little personal to us this week. Right. But shout out to Kevin Fowler, the Daily Beast, for when Aretha Franklin proved she was the greatest diva ever with his recap of the time that Aretha performed at Divas Live, 1998, and basically humiliated and bullied Mariah Carey, Carole King, Shania Twain, and Gloria Estefan. It's a good read. Not going to go into it too much, but I appreciated it because it was a lighthearted take on sort of this idea of what the diva is, especially considering how music is just over as an industry in terms of prestige and that sort of feeling about the people involved in it. It was a dope
piece. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'd say like singular artists that it seems like everything revolves around them or she's like the quintessential diva, right? That's why the rest of them couldn't stand up to them. There are many contemporary figures that fit in like that beyond like a Beyonce or something like that. So, yeah, I mean, what were the rest of those people supposed to do anyway? Like, who is second place on the diva scale?
Well, apparently, Carole King tried to be like, listen, she tried to get in there for a second. Because Carole King, she done it. She did that.
She tried.
She got a Broadway musical. What are you talking about? Carole King doing it.
I mean, Shrug. You know what I mean?
She got hit, so.
I'm sure they all have hits, but in terms of just like world breaking talent and singing ability, it's just difficult.
Of course,
like what do you do?
Of course,
this is like playing pickup with Michael Jordan.
It's just hilarious because there's actually a referenced video of Carole King when she's like, "What?" She just acknowledged how Aretha was like such a powerful singer, but also being like, "That was wild, rude." Like,
so it's just, right? Yeah.
So it's funny, just sort of that appreciation for this singular figure. So shout out to Aretha and a shout out to everybody who makes this persistence of time worthwhile. I appreciate it.
For sure.
So moving on to what we're actually talking about today, our two pieces. We have a format here. Don't let us confuse you with our rambling and our ranting. We're going to jump in with a little talk that affects our wallets after the Bitcoin boom, hard lessons for cryptocurrency investors. New York Times, Nathaniel Popper. Soohyung Lee. Crypto, it was hot recently. Within the past year or so, it was all the rage.
Yeah, definitely caught the national mainstream media attention last fall.
It definitely caught the stock market's attention. All you had to do was just be like, yo, we're like involved.
Yeah, it definitely caught Wall Street attention. The CBOE and I think, who else did it? Both markets in Chicago, they added Bitcoin futures to their exchanges. You saw a lot more like wide-scale discussion on in financial media, various investment. It just became kind of chic for a while, up until a couple of just current events and mishaps happened in the Bitcoin markets. And things associated with it that had knock-on effects that eventually caused this massive crash among cryptocurrencies that has persistently taken place over the past month since the highs of Bitcoin value to USD value since like January or so.
Yeah,
I think.
When it was just absurdly high.
So how are you doing? Like I know that you were in on some type of altcoin, alternative coin to Bitcoin. How's that?
Well, there's a couple things that are happening with me. Oh. I was trying to get onto this. Was it Rex? What was the hot, like, Ripple, all these like, other coins?
Shout out to Ripple.
That were dancing around.
XRP.
About,
yeah,
XRP. We talked about this.
Yeah, and it was a thing.
I was trying to get, like, approved, and it became, like, this whole shady thing where I had to, like, get them all this information.
Yeah, you got to get, like, your social and take a picture of your driver's license.
And
I came alive.
I ended up doing some of those things, not, you know, social, but, and it was absurd because at a certain point I had forgotten about it, and then the whole buzz had died down, and I'm sure that enabled them to have the logistic capacity to actually respond and be like, oh, you're approved now. You can, because a lot of it was that they were just so bogged down trying to keep up with the rush of people and everything. Yes. Transactions took days and all these things were happening. So I couldn't really dive deep in like I wanted to. And maybe that was for the best for my pockets at this current time.
Right. So you probably joined in just like the rest of us in the fall of last year, 2017, in which it became mainstream, as I said. And from analysis after the fact, it looks like the price of Bitcoin was artificially driven up by individual actors and then what they call like animal spirits, which is basically just the general sentiment of investors. We're all very bullish or positive investing, want to put money into buying cryptocurrencies, which skyrocketed the value of them in a very, very extremely short period of time. And during that time, still going through the main pillars, it got a lot of mainstream attention, literally, you know, showing up on your CNNs and Fox News or MSNBC, New York Times.
Was it Kramer?
You know, your boy Kramer was in there. It became one of those things in which, you know, your old, you know, 40, 50, 60 year old parents are asking you about that. That happened to me specifically. My mother came to visit me. She was like, oh yeah, what's going on with it? All this Bitcoin and stuff, and I'm trying to explain to her how to get it, how to open up a Coinbase account, so on and so forth. So during that time, per the article, Coinbase, which was the most mainstream and known of the what they call like cryptocurrency wallets, their user base doubled in the span of about a month or two. So that brought about a bunch of technical issues, sustainability issues that they had to deal with, and slowly got over a long period of time. Somehow gravity set in. People realized that there's not much behind this, and it's still very theoretical, and there aren't very many practical uses for it as of yet. And also, different markets across the world shut down Bitcoin speculation and trading. A couple places got busted. You know, it's very wild west in this case. I encourage anybody to read like these pieces and anything that joins it. To the point where the price has literally been tanking and has been down, like, depending on the cryptocurrency and specifically for Bitcoin, like 70 to 90% since January. That is a lot of money. And there are a lot of casualties of that precipitous decline. So you see in this piece, there's this pretty cool millennial-looking dude right on the cover.
Mr. Yu?
Tony Yu, yeah, is the caption. Tony Yu. He's also wearing the acronym Nike Prestos. Very, very desirable item. So shout out to him for that.
Shout out to those of you who don't know what that is, like me.
Yeah, some sneakers. Tony Yu, a financial analyst in Los Angeles, invested more than $100,000 of his savings last fall. At their lowest point, his holdings dropped almost 70% in value. Like, you just have to laugh because that's a lot of fucking money.
It's crazy
to lose all on a whim. But, you know, he seems to be a true believer. By the end of the piece, he's basically saying he's already lost so much money that he's just going to keep his holdings in and just hopes it shoots back up. Because this has been a very boom or bust asset or market in the first place. So there's no telling for those of us that have invested thousands of dollars into this. It may shoot back up, but there's really no telling, and that's the issue. It's too speculative for most people.
I mean, it seems like it's bound to go back up just off the fact that how speculative it is. It's just waiting for that one person or that new technology. It's like, oh, well, you know, Visa is finally going to just be like, fuck it. And then it'll just change the dynamic of that. And then people will pump and dump it again.
Right. And that's just way too speculative and volatile for your normal mom and pop investor, which is probably 85. Well, I don't want to speculate too much, but basically is the vast majority of people that dove into cryptocurrency markets last fall and have basically seen all of the gains that they made around that time evaporate since then, because the prices has dropped down from anything that really came during the fall season. So you didn't really make any money out of it. There's also this guy that was in UK. He dropped $23,000 into it. And now it's worth about $4,000. The guy has had to take up a second job. He feels bad, but he feels like he just has to move on with the rest of his life. So
it's funny how much people are willing to do that. Like, he obviously risked a lot with that, considering that he has the stock market, he has whatever other options he has, mm-hmm. you know, mutual fund, whatever he could have done to just put that chunk down because everyone's so hyped up about what it could be.
Yeah.
It's like, it's unprecedented in a way because it's a financial system. There's no real understanding of what is this going to be like. People are like, oh, well, it was the last time the gold standard was established. Like, it's not like a normal business investment that you can just sort of gauge what it's been like from history.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's no, since so many people have their hands into it and it's not dealt with and traded in the same fashion as other financial assets, there aren't as many controls. So, for example, if a stock drops too much, like in the New York Stock Exchange.
MoviePass,
for example. If it drops like too much at a given time, well, I'm talking about like large percentages. I'm talking about like 20-30% in a day. They will stop trading it. Yeah. Just let, like, it's called like, what's it called? Switch. Yeah, it's another word, but basically it's just like, okay, we're just going to stop trading this for a while because something is crazy is going on. We need to let people take a fucking breath. You can come back tomorrow and keep selling your shit off, but it's not all going to happen at one time. This also happened with the Bitcoin futures that were traded in the CBOE, I think around January, February time. But that is only one exchange that is selling and trading Bitcoin futures, right, which is like a packaged version of Bitcoin, or basically a speculation based on Bitcoin.
Which is kind of hilarious, you think about it.
Right, but that was the only place where something like that is happening. These online exchanges and Bittrex and Coinbase and whatnot that go up and down all the time because they're super young and maybe don't have the full infrastructure and investment in place. It's not happening. So amongst that and just the general negative sentiment that's happening for cryptocurrencies as a whole, this thing has just been plummeting. So you gave your testament. I thank you for sharing.
Are you going to preach? Are you about to preach?
I'm not about to preach. I'm about to give my testimony.
Give you a testimony.
Yeah. I'm not preaching at all. No. So I'm not going to give an exact dollar amount, but I put a non-zero positive amount into these cryptocurrency exchanges. And earlier this year, it definitely was in vogue to fuck around with the markets, to turn a little bit of your Bitcoin into some other random alt currency because that one was shooting up at the time. Some random person in Malaysia was pumping and dumping it, and you just wanted to ride the wave up, and then you could turn it back into Bitcoin or whatever, what have you, because it was a little bit more stable. I was down with all of that, but eventually the steam kind of died out and became, if not more stable, it just was a little bit, everything was dropping at one time or going up at one time. So I kind of checked out. Mm. And I have
alerts on your phone.
I have an app that at the end of the day, I think literally at like 12:04 a.m. or something like that, or 11:04, it sends me a notification of my holdings of all my cryptocurrencies together and the day-to-day difference. And for the longest of time, every single day, it's like, your holdings are, you know, X amount, 4% less than yesterday. 4% less, 4% less, 4% less, 4% less. To the point where now I am down, similar to these investor guys, you know, down, I guess, like 70% of what the original value was. And it wasn't an insignificant amount. It wasn't $23,000. I'm not... out of my life savings, but it was a pretty significant amount, something that I could probably have helped to pay my rent on.
Yeah, you could just put that in Google and you've been straight.
Yeah, or what else has been shooting up lately? Obviously not MoviePass, but I'm probably missing the wave. Apple, because people were just trying to get it over $1 trillion. Amazon.
Yeah.
I mean, the smaller lower stocks are better. Yeah, the smaller stocks are better to get, because you can get more of them, and if they go up, then they go up together. But so I feel your pain. That's all I'm saying. I have honestly just cut my losses, and it's so down at this point. It's like I might as well just leave the shit in, because I don't want to take 30% of what I put in out. You know, it's just,
I have a question for you though. So my question was, is it worth it? Is the ride all? Would you do it again? Because in my head, I'm like, hey, man, I could have made some better choices, but you just got to get out there. You just got to get there and start swinging.
Yeah. No, it's all about risk assessment. My risk assessment wasn't optimal, and I probably could have set up like backstops to take my money out a bit earlier, like what they call limits and
it takes
whatnot.
Time and you're going to do it.
Yeah, but you know, once you get past a certain point, it's like, fuck. You just gotta ride the wave. It wasn't a serious investment that I was really following. And like I said, I only put in what I knew I would be okay losing. Although for a while I was up, man. I was up.
I mean, it that's what it was, that if you got in early enough, and I don't even mean early, I mean to the point where you were able to catch even the end of that. You ever just zoom in on the graph at one point? Yeah. You're like, just looking at this graph. Like, it's still going up. Damn. You just be like, all right, cool. And you could the crest of the very end of that wave. If you even got on that, you were going up a little bit. So it gave you that high, got a little taste. And you're like, you know what? It could be volatile. You never know what could happen tomorrow. And then eventually, you know, people get indicted every day. You just can't pay attention the way that you'd want to, especially with something that had so much coverage and so much attention to it. So I understand. I understand what it's like, especially in the early days where just it's better. Just a good – there's hope. There's hope, more so than people that just never got that part of the deal.
Yeah, and from this article, from both of our testimonies, it seems to be pretty widespread. And even more so, actually, in some of the Eastern Asian countries, like places in Japan and Korea and parts of China before they put more controls on it, or if not totally just stopped crypto trading. A lot of places were putting real investments into this, trying to get ahead on it. And to the point where, you know, we're using more power for this than I think like... Damn, I forgot the comparison.
I mean, that was another thing.
Edit that out.
That part confused me, too. Just the amount of energy that it took and how it's, like, not feasible and all these, like, different things.
It's almost, like, diminishing returns. Like, why are we using all this power to do this mining to just persistently create all of these cryptocurrencies? But that's almost a minor issue, relatively compared. But I did just want to get to this one quote that also illustrates this, especially for the Asian perspective. Let me see.
We're getting there, people.
In South Korea, the biggest exchanges opened storefronts to make investment easier for people who didn't feel comfortable doing it online. The offices of one big exchange, CoinOne, had just one customer walk in during a 2-hour period in the middle of the day last week. An employee, Yoo Ji-hoon, said, "The prices of the digital tokens have fallen so much that people seem to feel upset," which is like a great translation. Kim Hyun-jung, a 45-year-old teacher and mother of one who lives on the outskirts of Seoul, said she put about 100 million won, or $90,000, into cryptocurrencies last fall. She drew on savings and insurance policy and a $25,000 loan. Her investments are now down about 90%.
Damn.
It's hitting people hard.
And she owes money because that was part of that was a loan.
She said, yeah, she took out a loan and this shit. You know, so hopefully what people learn out of this is don't throw all your eggs in one basket. Diversify your investments. And it's probably best to put at least a third to maybe even the majority of any of your money and investments into things that are stable and that
like just, your mattress.
We have a mattress ad or something?
No, just like you just put it
in your put the money in your mattress? No, I'm talking about like, even as you said, a mutual fund or ETFs or index funds. Something that are expected to have gradual yet consistent returns every year. You know, most of these, Dow Jones or S&P index funds, they return maybe on a whole like 7% a year.
And what's wrong with that?
You know, you had $100 going in this year. Next year, you got 107. Mm-hmm. Compound on top of that, that's 114 or some shit. I don't know. Yeah. It adds up.
Don't be in a rush, people.
We all want to be in on the gold rush, and it looks to be fool's gold as of right now. Just be careful, man.
I mean, and at this rate, considering what's going on with the economy, it's going to crash too. So just, you know, just remember that life is good. If everything goes wrong, then what you own physically is the only thing that'll matter anyway. So
right, but there's a much stronger economic and systematic argument at hand. But really, any and everything has value because people put value on it. So they always say buy gold and shit like that. But if our everything goes to shit and you just have like a bunch of gold bricks, I don't want fucking gold. You know, like you just because it's shiny.
You need metal guns, water bottles,
seeds,
all the essentials.
A car,
gas is a
gasoline, oil.
Any dystopian future. Take the oil.
Mad Max
2028. 2028, it's coming, dystopia. So
Mad Max was not, they weren't fighting for oil. They didn't need oil. I mean, I'm sorry, not oil, gold. Right, it was all about water.
Water.
Oil and water. Gas, water, women.
Hey, invest in oil futures. Whatever you need, just get that stuff. Because if you're like us, and you get excited about these things, and you just want to even just do a little dalliance, play around with it, that should be it. That should be enough. Just make it fun and don't do like Miss Kim from South Korea because it's rough, man, to hear.
On Trading Places, dude only played around with orange futures. You remember that?
No.
You never seen Trading Places?
This is a movie.
Eddie Murphy and yes. Steve Martin? What's Steve Martin?
Dan? No. I don't know. I know that's a movie. I know it's a classic.
It wasn't Steve Martin. It was
during that run.
Was it Charlie Sheen?
Maybe. It was during that run when he was just like the shit.
Yeah, he's a man in the 80s. Yeah, but anyway, the whole thing was literally based on orange futures. Hmm. And they were trying to get what would you call that? Like the farmer's prospectus?
Dan Aykroyd.
Oh, Dan Aykroyd.
I knew it was Dan Aykroyd.
Sorry about that. Good Googling. Yeah. Yeah, and they were just, it was all about oranges, basically. and they were living good, plenty of that, to the point where they can manipulate two people's lives and make a black man, you know, rich for a couple of days.
Oh, that's good to hear. Yeah. Well, as were we once upon a time.
Of course.
A couple of days.
Yeah. Bitcoin she was shooting up.
Oh, man. Once upon a time. Well, I'm glad that we can live in a free enough society that will allow us to tank our futures and destroy our financial solvency.
Yes.
And yours as well. That doesn't exist across the world. And our future overlords, China.
How do you spell that? How do you spell Trump's term? Is that with like a J-H?
I think it's definitely a J.
China.
It's like J-H. J-H-I-N-A-H.
China.
In China, there are a lot of things that make China go well. Authoritarianism.
Central planning.
Central planning. You can build a road across all of Central Asia because, damn it, that's what we're going to do, and that's the plan. And we're not paying anybody what they should be paid. So it gets done. There is unity. If you saw the 2008 Beijing Olympics, you're like, wow, when that war comes, we are losing. Beating them drums. Wow, amazing. You have history. A united, long series of this same culture over thousands and thousands of millennia. All that stuff is very powerful.
We have is hype.
We got hype. We hollering over here, hollering, shaking this shit.
Hype and like irrational pride, irrational confidence.
Just brashness.
We American. Fuck that. We're brash. Team America.
Oh yes, Team America. So we could say that we have our positives. Of course, Bitcoin was made here, but over there, they've got unity to the point where their market, this, I don't know, 2.3 billion people or whatever. It's
a lot of people.
It's honestly the Facebook model. It's like, listen, we got these views. We got all these views over here in China ready. What you gonna do? What you gonna do for them? What is the ad buy, America? What is the ad buy, other countries that you want are pretty much a controlled populace? And corporations are willing to do pretty much anything to get in the pocket of China.
A lot of moral quandaries come in the picture when deciding to deal with the Chinese market. I know this is an aside story, so I'll take as little time as I can. But essentially, Google is going through a lot of internal conflict and strife right now because their executives are considering opening a Chinese version of their search engine that is censored. And their more idealistic, liberal...
People wrote that email about sexual harassment or something. Wasn't that a thing in Google, too?
Well, yeah, I mean, that was different. But their employees are not really as supportive of doing that because it doesn't seem right for a country that... I mean, not a country, a company that is rooted and from a country that... It purports a free and open society to then open up shop in one that doesn't. The decision hasn't been made yet for them to do that. But that's just one good example.
And I think it's a good example because it kind of speaks to the type of companies that are willing to do or compromise themselves, even though they, not say put on a facade, but they have this front-facing image that they are progressive and they are for a certain type of social world that fits what people would call modern or fit for this time period.
Yeah, like free and open society.
Free and open society. So, a sports league that is near and dear to my heart, our hearts, and pretty much most of the young, if you like that Colin Kaepernick kneeled, your favorite league is the National Basketball Association.
I'm sure somebody has done like that pinpoint Facebook marketing campaign.
Just a Venn diagram.
Yeah, because you've used that shit before. It's like, I don't know if there's like a Colin Kaepernick support page or something like that, but like if you like that page, like, then you could use the algorithm. It's like, you probably fuck with the NBA.
It's just
too.
Like all those likes fit right into the NBA. Yeah. that's probably accurate. But the NBA is kind of put itself in a quandary because they have a training facility in Zhejiang, China, which is in the Uyghur province, northwest China, known for holding most of the Muslim population. Why is this a problem? Isaac Stonefish, in his article in Slate, breaks it down because the NBA has spent a long time just trying to get those Chinese dollars for a long, 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 long time. Obviously, the whole thing with Yao Ming and that whole period. The Houston Rockets haven't changed their jerseys in 15 years because of their stylistic nod to China and Chinese letters. There's all these little things that are constantly happening. There's China games regularly. But
there's statues of ostensible NBA product. Stephon Marbury, Kobe Bryant.
Yes. Kobe, Tracy, a lot of the whole NBA pipeline to China, it's a thing. Mm-hmm. And basketball has become pretty much Chinese favorite sport. Like, I'd imagine, besides probably something wild like handball or ping pong or some shit.
I don't know.
But the NBA they have ingratiated themselves into Chinese basketball culture, probably through Yao Ming, who's head of the Chinese Basketball Association, and they opened up a training center in Urumqi in Jixiang, the capital of Jixiang. And there's been riots, race riots, hundreds of people have been killed, there's detention centers, and the NBA has kind of not said much about how they have this there. It's not really addressed, and so this article, let's say it's uncovering it because it's public knowledge, but it's something that people don't necessarily address. And China, unlike probably most people would be aware of, is not an ethnically unified country. There's always been this idea of the issue with Tibet. People know about that sort of strife that's going on. But also these people, the Uyghur, the Muslim path that are, you know, toward the middle, Kazakhstan, all that kind of stuff out that way, which is basically as far away as from China, the idea of the prototypical Han China all the way on the coast as you can get. So as China has imperialized its way over there with central planning and stuff like that, they're trying to incorporate these areas into this Han Chinese identity. And they're doing it cruelly and through ethnic cleansing and forcing people to show high IDs and harassing them and stuff like that, because Han Chinese are 92% of the population. And if they can sort of ethnically purify and make people the same, then that Chinese authoritarianism will really sink in. We're all the same.
For the last 8%.
Yes, we gotta get that last 8% that I'll never forget.
Which still corresponds to like, no, no, tens of millions of people.
22 million. 22 million. Of the Uyghur. It's just a weird place because, as you know, NBA is the cool, hot league. Every social issue, boom, on it. Weed, all right. Gambling, sure. Gay marriage, absolutely. Dugging at the Pride Parade. Like,
yeah, did you see Kenneth Faree got a DWI with weed possession the other day, by the way?
Out on Long Island, Southampton. Yeah. I thought that was cruel.
I thought that was like decriminalized, but I think that's just in like New York City.
They're just like out here. It's like, listen, first we didn't know you were rich. We just thought you got out here somehow.
Yeah, we saw the locks.
Just like, but now we know you're rich. We'll let it slide later, but it's too late. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Fucked up.
Yeah. Sorry for the non sequitur.
No, it's fine. But like all these different things, gay marriage, police reform, anything that's progressive, the NBA is at the forefront as they should be. But this thing with China, like, it's tough. It's a tough situation. And honestly, there's a league team, CBA team, that plays out there that has been given games with NBA, Jizhang Flying Tigers. People have played there. Patty Mills, Kenya Martin, they all visited. Jordan Crawford visited. Joe Key used to play there. He's on Houston Rockets right now, Chinese player. So it's a situation where this is the biggest market for the NBA. They haven't been able to really push into India like they want to. And if there was enough rabble rousing, if there was enough noise, if people maybe cared enough, would this be something they were willing to pull back from or at least move it to somewhere that's not so controversial? I'm curious.
But would that have to come from inside of China or from the U.S. base?
Well, I'd imagine that at this juncture, it would be a political situation if the NBA is going to be like, well, we're going to move this because of some, like, the Chinese government may be like, no, or something like that. So I don't know what that means, but I know the NBA has had, like, a long footprint in China, so maybe they can talk to them or actually negotiate in a way, maybe better than our own government.
Maybe something that would be, I don't think they would be able to change much, but maybe to assuage the political optics that are happening in that region, if that, because, you know, as much as we love and appreciate the NBA, it's still relatively small. It's not that big of a company, like, specifically. So they don't really have that much sway.
And they're a media company. They don't have oil or some shit.
Right. And they have cultural sway. But then you think about it, they're in China. China is totalitarian and just trying to have this uniform identity. So their political sway, their social sway is not really as effective over there as the players themselves and what they make up have here. So it's likely just a tenuous situation that they found themselves in when dealing in a market such as China, and you have to deal with the issues that come with that, because, you know, you never really know one day when you wake up in a random place what type of country you're in. So if you're in China, I'm saying, like, if you wake up in China, you see people walking down the street, everybody walks and talks, and it's, you know, like their hearts are still beating, so it just exists, but you don't really think that, okay, you're in a totalitarian country, you're in a communist country, and they have certain controls that belie what it is or what an American thinks. So it's just hard to parse that, especially when you just find yourself like in the muck of it.
Right.
And any action that they do at this point would probably be negative business-wise for them. And for a lot of companies that look at the bottom line, that may be a risk that they're not willing to take.
I mean, it's the thing. It's like, well, that's their shit over there.
Right, exactly. I mean, there'll be a lot of, you know, side talk and dismissiveness if they really were ever pushed on something like that. And I don't even want to say anything that is like whataboutism or anything. Like, oh, what about what's going on in the U.S. or anything like that. But it's just hard to say, really. Maybe they can come out with their own milquetoast statement. You know what I'm saying? That they don't really...
A good Drake reply.
Yeah, you know, or I don't approve, the NBA does not endorse or approve what was going on in the region, but we hope to continue to working with the Chinese government to bring about understanding and peaceful resolutions to it. And if it gets too out of hand, then, you know, it might help their image publicly to pull out. I mean, are they at the point in which people are... Oh, you said people were already being killed. Yes. In the region. Now it's like in the cities and whatnot?
Well, the main city, yes. And they have like the detention center.
Oh, so it just sounds bad. It's just really bad.
Okay. This is a bad look.
Yeah. So it's a bad look. But it's that. But
it's kind of like Arizona, where like you have to show your ID if you're walking around. They know
I don't think they passed that law. I think they didn't
you sure? There. I mean, is that the, sure. It doesn't have to be passed for it to be happening. No. What do they call it? When police discretion?
Right. Yeah. Wide discretion. Yeah, but I mean that's what it means to be a responsible citizen, right? Or a corporate citizen. It's like when people heap some shit on you that you are actually not dealing with and weren't really thinking about, that will show really what your intentions are and what your real what your integrity is or how it's applicable to that situation. I mean, I don't want to defend the NBA. I don't really know enough facts about the situation, but I think they would wind up, they're most likely wind up being in the wrong morally one way or another. And, you know, most companies, especially that go internationally, wind up getting their hands pretty dirty.
It's just funny that we're at this point where China is the biggest bad that there is, because a company like the NBA has basically stood out there on any issue, no matter what. We're banning Donald Sterling for life. Remember that shit?
Yeah.
They changed. I mean, they moved the All-Star game. Moved the All-Star game. So it's a situation where once you start messing with Chinese dollars, things change. And for me, beyond the NBA, it's just interesting what that's going to mean going forward, considering when you think about what country you live in, you're like, when you wake up and you don't know what country you're in, it's a totalitarian place. It's like, we're going to work up in a place where it's like, oh, we're like, sort of socially and financially, and hopefully not in the future, culturally beholden to like China. Like, so I don't know if it's 10 years from now or 5 years
I would say the more realistic future is, what'd you say? You're socially, what were the three you said? Socially, culturally, and
financially
beholden, I would say, to a white revanchist plurality of the country. That's what I would say. That's the more realistic reality that's impending in the U.S.
I like dystopias, man. Like, they're fun. They're more fun.
More realistic in certain ways. I mean, you could argue we live in a dystopia now and have always.
Well, I mean, definitely.
Some capacity.
I mean, definitely. Amazon Alexa exists.
So. Right. All right. Let's brighten it up. Brighten it up. What is the
Dystopia.
What is the silver lining in this? Maybe the NBA could be heroic and say, if y'all don't stop this shit, we leaving. And all no, y'all the, suck at basketball anyway.
The
y'all
silver lining is that the NBA as a cultural institution is actually taking over the world.
But are they really you driving know,
have
social
progress? Have you ever played Civilization, the game?
No, but I've heard.
You have ears. You know about things.
Yeah.
There's a way to win called a cultural victory. And NBA is surging forward on this. Stephon Marbury got statues. It's going to, like, it's the forefront. Dennis Rodman has already saved us from nuclear war multiple times. And it's like, damn. My silver lining is black people are cool, man. It's like, damn, look how cool black people are. It's just,
I feel like that doesn't help that much, but yeah, it's just
it's like everything, you know, just, we're not gonna get our credit for it. We're not gonna get our credit for it, but it's gonna be a point where Xi Jinping and President Chelsea Clinton sit down and and it'll be like, you know what? We were gonna invade y'all with our million man army. But god damn it, Kobe's coming next summer, and you know, we'll smooth it over.
Just
sit down, Kobe, who broker it with Chelsea Clinton.
I would make a different point, not to detract from yours, but something just adjacent is
or more actually reasonable.
China and the Chinese market and the Chinese culture is just a tough nut to crack, and they have become so essential to the global economy and global security that we can't, as a country or as any entity of countries, can't really ignore them, or we ignore them at our own peril, or ignore them at missing out on chances for growth. I think that's like a very like CEO way to say it, right?
Yeah, it was good.
So if you think about it, okay, so China was accepted into the World Trade Organization. A bunch of trade pacts were passed. And now, although Trump or whomever is trying to change it a bit, everything is made in China. Or just a bunch of shit is made in China. Now, a lot of these similar issues have been taking place in China for decades now. A totalitarian country that's centrally planned by a couple dozen people that plan things out 40 years in advance. And for better words, like, the shit kind of working. But, you know, the people don't get much say on that, so it's not particularly democratic. But that said, a lot of countries, they had this similar type of moral quandary and just went ahead and went through the means that made them the most money. Because, I don't know, what is some shit that's just made in China that you know immediately? Some action figures, Mattel.
Anything blessed.
They
fabric.
Went, yeah, so they went and
computer components.
They've said, oh, you know, China's kind of fucking janky, but we can just open up a factory. Use a factory over there. Oh, better yet, Apple. There we go, Apple. Yeah. Apple, Foxconn and Apple.
Yeah, we'll just put up nets outside the
they
windows.
They got nets. I was about to bring up those fucking nets. I read a thing about the nets a while ago, and I was like, this is the craziest shit I've ever fucking heard of. So they got nets outside of the, like, open air windows and stuff like that for people trying to commit suicide, like, so they could just get caught and brought back in. Like, that's not a lie. That's fucking crazy.
Dark, man.
So, you know, these companies have decided that their bottom line is more important than any type of moral stance, and it's allowed further growth from China, and it's allowed for greater necessity on China. And so China has a large population. So eventually, we have incorporated their systems here. And now we want to go over there and give a bit of our culture or businesses or Google and NBA and whatnot. Yeah. And we're facing those similar questions to those, but now the turf is a little different. So it's just up to those companies to decide. And how do they parse the words or put together the right sentences to where they can be okay with their decisions. I think it's always about permission mechanisms.
I think the sentence is basically this. It goes, what was the amount of profit we got from our Chinese market? All right, great.
All right, great.
I mean, I don't think it's that dark. I don't honestly don't even think it's that heavy of a situation because I'm sure the NBA is nimble enough to actually change it. It's not the major city in China. It's not like their flagship situation. But I did want to point out that no one can be trusted and everything is dark. Remember that. Remember it.
Yeah, we need to start bringing up like stories of, I don't know, like a dog saving a little girl or some shit.
I thought you were going to say some wild shit like a dog saving a, like,
I don't know. A cat in a tree. I don't know. You about to jump out the window? Nah. I'm saying like some heartwarming shit.
But like for like from like a moving car, like a dog dies after like, saved him. Wow, I didn't know dogs could do that. You know what? Positive note. Positive note before we get out of here. Netflix says they're showing commercials. They're not showing commercials.
I was about to say, how is that positive?
dark. No, they're not showing commercials. Even though they are, they say they're not. So remember that.
Okay.
If you're binging, they're starting to put it in between. Like, they're doing a test, so they're putting it in between, like, a long series of when you're watching.
Are they doing commercials of their own products, their own series, or for outdoor advertisers?
Well, I don't know because this article does not say.
Okay, because I think I have seen that feature where they will, it's pretty seamless, so I'll give them props for that, and it doesn't seem too overbearing, but you'll finish something, and particularly if you finish a series, it'll seamlessly, yeah, something will come up.